seeking the Lord's help and blessing this evening, we may turn again to the passage of his word read from Matthew chapter 21, from verse number 8. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Well, this was, friends, a very wonderful and a highly significant event in the earthly life of the Saviour. It was not long before the Lord Jesus would give his life a ransom for many. And Jerusalem, that these events that we have read of in this chapter took place. It was what we call the triumphal entry of Christ to the city of David. And already by this time, there had been many hundreds of years of history in regard to the possession of the Jewish people and their relationship to the land of promise and to the city of Jerusalem, which was indeed a high place. A high place, friends, because the temple was there. Solomon's temple to begin with. And then when that was destroyed, there was a second temple built. And how that second temple was in the providence of God, maintained in existence until the time of Christ, and indeed even for a time following the resurrection of the Lord. So we find here Jesus coming up to the city of David and to what we call Mount Zion, the city of the great king, to an area which others tell us it was that place where Abraham offered up Isaac and where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was to offer his life as a ransom for many. So it is very interesting, of course, to reflect and on the triumphal entry of Christ to the city of David, particularly so, I trust, as you as a congregation prepare for the commencement of the communion season on the morrow, if the Lord spare you, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper on this coming Sabbath day. So we are to think about Christ. We are to think about Jesus. We are to have our affections, of course, drawn more and more to him as the days of the communion will commence, and as they will proceed in the Lord's will, then there is to be a drawing of the affections of God's dear people to the blessed Christ, to the Lord Jesus, who did give his life for his people, to save them from their sins, to atone for all of their iniquities, so that they might have peace with God, which they do have, who are united to Christ by faith, peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This same Jesus. This same Jesus of Nazareth, of Galilee, is the one who died under the title the King of the Jews. Here he is. Here he is in his glory. Here he is being acclaimed by the masses as he comes up fulfilling prophecy and showing himself to be the Messiah, the Christ of God. Well, we think about the subject of the triumphal entry of Christ to Jerusalem this evening for a short time. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through to 11 is the text that we look at this evening. And three things I want to draw your attention to are as follows. Firstly, the person who was acclaimed. He was acclaimed by a great multitude, a very great multitude. Verse 8, spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. This is most unusual. This is an acclamation in word and in deed. That is most unusual, surely. And it is all to do with Jesus, as they say there in verse 11. They are saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. This man and that man there knows the identity of this person. And so do we. And so do we. The person is Christ, who was acclaimed, none other than Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Secondly, the prophecy that is fulfilled, that was fulfilled. This was done that prophecy might be fulfilled, that he would sit upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass, that he would so come up in this most unusual fashion. It was prophesied in the word of God. It was on record, Holy Spirit speaking in Scripture, many years before Jesus came into this world, laid on record that this would take place, and it would take place in connection with the Lord's Christ. And it has taken place. It will not take place again. It does not need to, and it will not. It has been fulfilled. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Then, thirdly, the praise that was offered. Well, there was praise offered up, and that heartily indeed. Hearty praise, which of course is what we should have when we think about the Saviour. Should have a heart for him. Blessed, they said, is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. These are great words. This is great praise. And how worthy he was of that. Well, we think about the person, then the prophecy and the praise. These three things. Firstly, the person that was acclaimed. Acclaimed by the masses and the multitude in this most, we might say, religious city. This is where the tribes went up. The tribes of God go thither. This is where the temple was, which was the centerpiece, we might say, of the religious worship of the Jewish people. And it was a temple, of course, that Christ himself, friends, frequented when he was in this world. The Savior himself entered within the temple and took notice of the temple, did he not? We see here, even in this chapter, how no sooner has Christ entered into Jerusalem at this time with acclamations exceeding great, than that he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and that in relation to the temple worship, cleansing the temple. The one who came in triumph cleansed the temple of God. That's where he went to first, foremostly on this occasion, to the temple of God. Is that not wonderful? Is that not part of the whole scene, the whole picture that is drawn for us here in the Word of God? Christ is going up not only to the city of David, but to the temple of God. He is prophet, he is priest, he is king, he is the Messiah. He is the person who is acclaimed and none other. Blessed is he. Notice that, the singular, blessed is he. Peter is there. The other disciples, great men. The disciples, apostles of the Lamb. But they're not, as it were, they're scarcely taken notice of. What are they doing there about the business of casting their clothes in the way? They're doing deference to Christ. He is the one upon whose eye all the people meet. They meet upon Jesus. The prophet, the priest, the king, the great and glorious Messiah who goes up to the city of David, his forebear according to the flesh, and he is the true heir of the throne of David. He's greater than David, and he's going up to the city of David. You see, we read nothing of this in the life of David. Great man though he was, never went up in this fashion. We read of him going out of Jerusalem, great penury, great sadness, the days of Absalom, great sorrow of heart. We don't read of David going up in this fashion, being acclaimed, Hosanna in the highest. This is the son of David. This is the true and only Messiah. Now writes Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, note, Jesus Christ comes in the name of the Lord. He is sanctified and sent into the world as mediator. Him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus Christ comes in the name of the Lord. He is sanctified and sent into the world as mediator. Him hath God the Father sealed. Zion's King, friends, is here entering into and upon Mount Zion. Remember that Jerusalem is set upon a hill, and they go up very steep slopes to the temple. Mount as Jesus did. And he went up with acclamations because he was the Christ, because he was worthy of such commendations and such words spoken of him. Now we see, of course, and we ought not to forget that, that Zion's King is the Son of God, a divine person. Notice how the Saviour commands and provides himself that ass and that colt, the foal of an ass. How that he constrains the man whose they were to give them up freely for his use. So that the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. One thinks also, of course, of the upper room, the city of Jerusalem being so busy at this time of the Passover. Where was the accommodation to be had for Jesus and his disciples? But provision is made. In the providence of God and the provision made by Christ himself. Let us always remember that when we think about the Lord's cause, even when it is weak and when it is low, it is Christ's cause. He can provide for it. He can sustain it. He can maintain it. He can cause that people would support it in the way that he will choose. He is the Son of God. So how great this person is, even Christ, whose death is to be remembered in the Lord's Supper in coming days, we trust. Right, so the same commentator, Matthew Henry, Christ, in commanding the ass into his service, showed that he is the Lord of hosts. He is Lord of hosts. And in inclining the owner to send him without further security, showed that he is the God of the spirits of all flesh and can bow men's hearts. He can bow men's hearts. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. Are we here tonight and we despair or tempted to despair of our unconverted relations? They are not walking in a way that would give us any indication that they are inclined towards the Lord. But we must not forget the power of Christ, the power of the gospel, the power of the Spirit of God, the power that is in Jesus. Oh, let us be petitioning the Lord for loved ones and near ones and dear ones that may be far off. He is able to save to the uttermost, friends, all those that come to God by him. This is the Christ whose death is to be remembered. This great, triumphant King of kings, this Lord of lords, this blessed Jesus. The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. This is not the high priest. This is not Gamaliel. This is not one of the Pharisees. This is not Herod. We could not think, of course, of Herod ever so coming upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. He would come, if he would come at all, I assume, upon a stately charger and upon a chariot, great and strong, perhaps, with a retinue of great armed men. Herod coming, he is not the Christ. He is not the Christ. He is the wicked King Herod, but here is Jesus. Here is Jesus. Here is the Saviour, and he comes up in fulfilling prophecy. That's the second point. This person, we see that he, in so coming, fulfilled the word of the Lord. Scripture, he said himself, cannot be broken, not a jot nor tittle. It must be fulfilled. And what we find here, of course, is that the Saviour coming in the manner in which he did, with the acclamations that surrounded him on this occasion, was in fact fulfilling the word of God. He was fulfilling the prophecy that we find in the prophecy of Zechariah, which we turn to now in chapter 9 and verse number 9. Rejoice greatly, we read there, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. It is to the letter. And friends, we must concentrate our attention. At this point in the sermon, we must concentrate our attention on this passage in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Here is the prophecy. How is it to be fulfilled? When was it fulfilled? Is it yet to be fulfilled? Surely not. Is it yet to be fulfilled? Surely not. For Christ has come. Jesus has come. Word of God has been fulfilled. The prophecy that was written down in the days of Zechariah, the prophet, written down, set on record, the Old Testament scriptures that the Jewish church had in Jesus' day. Rejoice greatly. What do we find? Isn't that not what happens? O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why is that? Because, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. We must face up to this. We must recognize here tonight, prophecy is fulfilled. This is the word of God. Christ has come. And notice what is said of him. He is king. Is he your king? Is he my king? Is he our king? Do we view him as a king? Thy king cometh unto thee. What is said of him? He is just. He is the Holy One. He is the just one. He is the Son of God. He is supremely just. He is just. Everything that he said, everything that he did, whenever he passed judgment, was just judgment. He is just and having salvation. This is the king, having salvation. It was not the salvation that the Jews thought, to be rid of the yoke of Rome, but as a greater salvation, to be rid of the yoke of sin. To be set free by the Son of God, to be given a new heart by his gracious Spirit, to be saved from our sins by his blood, having salvation, lowly, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He is lowly. Are we not put in mind of the lowliness of Christ, of the humiliation of Christ? Are we not put in mind, dear friends, of this one who is the Saviour and what we read of him in this same Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here is the one who is meek, having salvation, who is lowly, and who is riding upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. He is coming up to save. He is coming to give his life a ransom for many. It was not sufficient, we say with reverence. Not sufficient, of course, that Christ would fulfill this prophecy. He must fulfill all prophecy. Not only must he fulfill that prophecy in Zechariah 9, verse 9, but he must fulfill that prophecy in Isaiah chapter number 53, pertaining to his sufferings and his death as a substitute. And so he did. So he did not many days hence from when he came up, being acclaimed as the Son of David. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a sheep, lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Here is Christ. He's coming up. What are they saying? Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Prophecy is fulfilled. Christ coming. Christ coming in this manner. The prophecy in Zechariah is fulfilled in the person of Jesus. But also that which we read of elsewhere in the Old Testament scriptures. For example, in chapter 62 of Isaiah, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And so it was. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. What work was before Christ when he came up triumphant to Jerusalem? What work, what great work. The work that no mere man could do. The work that he only could do. The work that he did do when he laid down his life in the room and place of the guilty. Oh, how great is Christ then. As another notes, he is appointed king over the church. He is accepted king by the church. The daughter of Zion swears allegiance to him. And this is what God's people do in the sacrament. They are swearing allegiance anew and afresh to Christ. This is my Savior. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Just having salvation, and he is lowly. Well, what praise was offered to this glorious person? Well, we read of it here in the third and final place. Multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Well, this is praise, and praise indeed. Oh, what great praise pertained to Christ here. We ought not to forget, of course, how they spread the garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, strawed them in the way. These traditional signs of triumph for kings and great ones were set before the Son of David. Of course, as you know, Son of David is a title for the Christ of God. He's the Son of David. Look at what we read at the end of the chapter before this one. We find the blind men there at Jericho. What are they saying? Have mercy on us, they say to Jesus, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Are we asking for that? On the cusp of a communion season, what an opportunity the congregation here in Auckland has to hear the Lord's servants preach on the days of the communion season. Are we saying at the prayer meeting, Lord, that our eyes may be opened, that our eyes may be opened spiritually at this communion season? So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, immediately their eyes received sight, they followed him. Do we think that It is another Jesus we are calling upon. Do we think that he cannot open our spiritual eyes? How much more need we have of that, even than they had of the natural eyesight to be given to them? That we would behold the Lamb of God at this communion season, our eyes would be touched, our hearts would be touched, and that God's people would be blessed through the word and sacrament. The poor sinners would have their eyes lifted up to the Jesus of the Bible, to the Son of God, to the Saviour of sinners. They received sight and they followed him. Perhaps a sweet thought it is indeed, they followed him to Jerusalem. Who can tell? When would they stop following one who so blessed these blind men? Might they not have been here and joining in the praises? Joining in the praises. And of course, that is how it is with sinners when they are saved. They follow Jesus in the way, and then they join with a great multitude of God's professing people and praise the Son of God, praise the David of the New Testament, saying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means save now, save now. Imploring him to save. And save he would. Save he would in a greater way than one fears many in that multitude conceived of. Looking as they were for a king to rid them from the yoke of Rome, but not so attracted to one who would rid them from the yoke of sin. How many are like that in our own day, looking for a Jesus who will give them some good feelings, or some perhaps even earthly benefits in some prosperity gospel that they're sitting under. And they're not looking to the Jesus of the Bible, who will save them from their sins, who will make them to be truly blessed, and to be lovers of holiness and lovers of God's day, lovers of God's people. This is Jesus, they said. The city was moved. Who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Who is this? Who is this we should be saying? Who is this that is coming up in triumph? Who is this that came up in fulfillment of prophecy? Who is this who, but Jesus, whose death is to be remembered in the Lord's Supper, this coming Sabbath? Who is this? It is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. It is that one who will, as we see when we turn but a few pages in Matthew's Gospel, then we see it is Jesus who suffered, who died, of whom they said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" The same Jesus who was valued by Judas at such a low price, 30 pieces of silver. The same Jesus and the soldiers did gamble over his garments. Again, fulfilling prophecy. He was crucified. They pierced my hands and feet. Psalm 22, fulfilled in Christ. Praise was offered here. And praise we should have, friends, in our hearts and in our lips this Wednesday night for the David of the New Testament. Blessed is he that has come, we might say, in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh, they said, in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All we should be saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And we have never prayed in that way before. May the Spirit so touch our hearts as to pray for a blessing here tonight. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us, they said, O Lord. thou son of David. Well, how solemn, of course, to think that very possibly a numbers in this multitude, though they so cried, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, some of them may well have been found later saying, away with him, away with him, crucify him. So solemn and so fickle the heart of man. One can only hope that there were some, even if that was true of them, and perhaps on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, were brought under the power of the truth by the Holy Spirit to weep over their sin in rejecting Christ and to accept of him and to be blessed by him. However long you, dear sinner, dear friend, have rejected the Savior, repent, believe the gospel. Turn ye, for why will ye die? Think about Christ. Think about this great Son of David. Think about the love of Jesus in going up to Jerusalem, knowing well that it wasn't to end here with acclamations, but he must needs be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he set his face like a flint to go up to Jerusalem because he loved God the Father and because he loved his people to the end. We've thought about the person who was so acclaimed, the prophecy that was fulfilled in this triumphal entry of Christ to Jerusalem, and the praise that was offered up to Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And may our hearts be brought to burn within us as we think about this Savior, as we think about the opportunity that we have, you have, in view of the remembrance of Christ's death, where he says, this do in remembrance of me. And so may God bless his word to us. We'll now ask Mr. James Kidd, Grafton Elder, to pray in conclusion.